Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
In looking at these passages, I became convicted that I have not sought the Lord to the degree that I need to as a pastor, to be a good pastor. And for that, I am sorry. And as I was looking at these passages, I became determined to do a better job with what God has given me by His grace. But part of this message is about doing more with what God has given you. That's what this text is about. So in verse 14, and we don't have it up here on the overhead, so you'll just have to either listen or look at it. This is speaking about the second coming of Christ, and it says, "It will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts them with his property. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability, and then he went away. He who received 5 talents went at once and traded them and made 5 talents more. Also the one who had 2 made 2 talents more. And the one who had received 1 went, dug it in the ground, hid the master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the talent, and saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also had 2 talents, came forward saying, 'Master, you have delivered 2 talents, and I have made 2 more. And his master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he who had received 1 talent came forward and saying, 'Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid the talent in the ground. Here's what's yours.' But the master answered and said, 'Wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with a banker, and at my coming I should receive what is mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into outer darkness, in the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." This teaching is about what we do with the truth of God's kingdom revealed to us. It can apply to having the gift of the Holy Spirit, but I think it applies more to what we know about God. The Bible says the truth will set you free, and if you apply the truths that are found here in this text, you will be set free for the rest of your life. And this is a word to the church. The truth sets you free. Believing it sets you free. But if you believe a lie, you will be bound. And it's my desire that I be free, and it's my desire that you be free. The pastor's job is to bring truth down from heaven as if it was a feast, for you to bring the Word of God into your life. And when you bring it into your life and you believe it, it becomes alive. Who are these people in the parable? There are 3 of them, 3 servants, and there's the master. Now, the master obviously is God, and more specifically, it is Jesus. Jesus comes to the earth, then he leaves, and he goes for a long time. You notice that God is like not checking up in this story at all on these servants. There's an old saying, we don't do what is expected, we do what is inspected. Managers function like that. They're always inspecting what you do because they're trying to keep you accountable to it. You notice there's nothing like that in this story. He gives them something. He doesn't even tell them what to do with it. But he leaves. And then after a long time, he comes back and he wants to settle the account. Very little instructions are given here on what to do with the talents. Now, who are these people that were given these talents? I believe they refer to all of humanity. Everyone is given something from God that they are accountable. Even if it's just the smallest amount of light, no man on the day of judgment can say, I was not aware there was a God. I was not aware that I was accountable. Everyone has some truth in them that they know that there's a God and they will be accountable. What is interesting is that once the word is acted upon, which is the talent, it creates more. But if it doesn't get acted upon, it creates nothing. The word of God is alive and active, but it is dead to some people because they never allow it to be active in them. The word created the world that we see around us. The word created us. But the word is dead to us if we do not believe it. This message teaches us that we are accountable for the truth that we have, and we cannot hide it. It says here that God gave these talents based upon, if you look at it in verse 15, He gave the talents according to His ability. The word ability is actually the word dunamis, the power that we have. And every talent is given based upon the amount of power we have. God never gives you more than you can handle. God never gives you more truth than you can handle. But what He does reveal to you, you are accountable for. What is the talent? I said it was the kingdom of heaven or the truth of the kingdom of heaven. But literally a talent was something that weighed a certain amount of weight. And it was the largest form of weight that was equated with money. And some people said that the talent weighed about 93 pounds. A talent weighed about 93 pounds. It was as much weight as a man could carry. That's why it weighed about 93 pounds. It was considered to be probably the maximum you could carry. And so whether it's a talent of gold or a talent of bronze or a talent of silver, it had to weigh about that much, and you could carry it. And in this story, they were not to carry it for themselves, they were to carry it for their master. They were entrusted with it because they were what? They were servants. All humanity, whether they know it or not, is a servant to God. There's only one master, and everyone is accountable. The three servants were responsible for the truth that was given to them, preached to them. You know how I know that the talent represents the truth that was preached to them? Because it is what God came to do. In Luke chapter 14, 18, it says of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him because He anointed Him to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind and set at liberty those who were oppressed. The Lord came to reveal truth. He came to set us free. He came to tell us that if you believe the word that is being spoken to you, the word will become alive in you and it will multiply and you will become like a tree and you will bear much fruit, and then the fruit will fall to the ground and the seed will begin to make more trees and more fruit. And the idea is that truth was designed to be multiplied and spread. Why did this one servant hide it? Why did he dig a hole and hide it? Look at the text. The first thing he says, looking at verse 24, I knew you were a hard man. The word hard actually means I knew you were rough. It actually refers to not having very much moisture in you. You're a tough guy. You're a hard guy. You're a rough guy. That was his perspective of God. Let me tell you, if that's your perspective of God, you better change. When you believe a lie, it leads to other lies. God is not a rough, uncaring, insensitive person. As a matter of fact, can you imagine your child, if you have children, describing you this way? Oh, my dad, he is a hard man. Does that sound like a compliment to you? He's rough. He's uncaring. That's what he believed about God. That was the lie. And because he believed that God was like this, he became afraid of God. See, a lot of people have the idea that people can get motivated to do stuff if they get afraid. Fear is a great motivation. It is not a great motivation. I mean, on one hand it is, but on another hand it's not. He did not love God, he feared God. He did not think God was a good God, he thought God was a rough and mean God. And because of that, he was not motivated to do anything for God. As a matter of fact, it said he ran away. The word for fear is phobia, meaning to run away. He ran away from the responsibility. He produced nothing with what was given to him. Because he was afraid, he hid. And that is really what mankind does. They are afraid and they hide. A lot of people don't come to church. Why? Because they don't want to hear the truth. Why? Because they're afraid of the truth and they don't want to hear what they don't want to hear. They believe it's going to be harsh. They believe it's going to be hard, and they believe a lie. Look at the contrast in the faithful servant. Verse 20. He who had received 5 talents came forward. It's almost like he's happy. He's happy to show off what was... You know this feeling, you know? When you know you did the right things. You know, maybe as a kid, your parents left you in charge of the house. And if you left it a mess, guess what? You were hiding. But if that house was better, in better shape than when they left, Mom, Dad, welcome home. Look. Wow. Looks great. The faithful servant was excited to see his master and came right forward and said, look, you gave me 5. I got 5 more. I hope you have this kind of enthusiasm on the day of judgment. I hope you can look at everything God gave you and say, God, I took it and I did. I worked it. And by the way, if you look at what he did, if you go back and see what he did, both of them, when they received the talent, it says they went and they traded with it. Verse 16, they traded with them. The word trade means they labored, they toiled, they engaged, they worked it, they worked it, they worked it. Every day they worked it, they worked it, they worked it. They figured out, how can I take what God has given me and work it in such a way that it multiplies? What can I do? I will trade it, I will work it, I will do whatever is necessary, but when he comes back, I will have more. I will have more. So the master says to these ones who multiplied, well done, good, faithful servants. You've been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. The idea is you were a servant. You worked for me. But now I'm going to promote you until you are ruling over much. You've been faithful. You've been trustworthy. He says, now enter into joy. It's going to be all joy. Except for the one who believed a lie. The word that was believed caused these servants to work hard, to put it to work. They felt they were in a partnership. But look at what the unfaithful servant says to him. And this might have been almost a slap in the face when he says this. He says, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you reap where you did not sow and gather where you did not scatter seed. In other words, I knew you were the kind of person that you wouldn't work yourself, but you wanted other people to work for you. Wow. Somehow this guy doesn't have the concept of being a servant. He's basically blaming his ineffectiveness on the fact that his master is a bad boss. He's basically saying, I was slothful because you're the kind of guy that you do no work and you expect other people to work for you. I was afraid of you. I went and hid the talent in the ground. And then he says, here, you can have what's yours. Wow. Here, this is yours. See, in order to be a good servant, you're going to have to take what God gave you and you're going to have to treat it as if it is yours. This is a partnership. Father, I'm your son. I'm in God Incorporated. And your prophet is my prophet and my prophet is your prophet and I understand that. Let me tell you one of the first rules of faith. And it's found in the book of Hebrews. And it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And let me just say this. If you don't believe this, you will never, ever, 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 ever make any progress in your Christian life. You will never be motivated to multiply and multiply and multiply what God has given you. And here it is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. That's the first talent. I believe in God. But I'm going to draw near and believe that He exists. But that's not where it ends. It says, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. This unfaithful, slothful servant did not see God as a rewarder. He saw Him as a hard man who basically did nothing and wanted something in return. But the faithful servant understood this, that I'm accountable, but I also know that when He comes back, I will be rewarded. I believe that God is a rewarder. I believe God is generous. I believe God is the best Father the world has ever seen. I believe we are evil and we don't know how to give good gifts to our children, but I believe He knows how to give good gifts and reward His people accordingly. My God is generous. My God is a rewarder. I work for Him knowing that. I believe that. You see, in a sense, the wicked servant got what he believed. He believed God was hard, and that's what he got. He believed God was going to collect something that he didn't work for, and that's what he got. If you believe a lie, you will reap the consequences. This is a firm, conclusive, revelation that if you don't use what you've been given, you will lose what you've been given. Look at what it says here in verse 29. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But listen to how he puts this in verse 29. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That's interesting. It says, the one who has not, even what he has will be taken. That almost doesn't make any sense. Does he have not, or does he have? What it means is, because he was given something and did nothing with it, it was as if he had nothing. If you say, I believe in God, but you do nothing with that, you have nothing. If you think you're going to profess Jesus is my Lord, I believe that he rose from the dead, therefore I have something, you have nothing if you don't do something with that knowledge. Saving faith is not inactive faith. Saving faith is always active faith. You must produce fruit with repentance. The one who did nothing with what was given was cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, he went to hell. Action is required. I'm not teaching faith plus works. I'm teaching faith that is works. My faith is active. It will work. If it's not active faith, it's not faith. Not the faith that can save. Our response to this parable always should be, well, God, what have you told me to do? And my response will be Isaiah's response, Lord, here am I, send me. It will be Samuel's response, speak, Lord, I'm listening. It will be Mary's response, be it done to me according to your word. Are you taking the truth that God has given you and hiding it, or are you acting on it and it is coming alive? Let me give you the best news about this passage, is we're not at the day of reckoning yet. You're not being called before the throne to give an account yet. There's still time. There's still time for you to take what God has given you and multiply it 100-fold. But you got to start by seeing God as generous and a rewarder and a good God. You got to start seeing that there's a joy coming in heaven that will be complete, constant, and continual. But there's also a hell that's coming that will be complete, constant, and continual. And you will live in regret of not taking what God gave you on this earth and doing something with it. What happened to this unfaithful servant is he got something and he just gave up. He didn't think it was worth much, planted it, did nothing, thought the master would at least have what he had in the beginning, and that's not the way it works. Status quo is never God. Playing it safe is never God. In the end, he was afraid to do something. Fear is never of God. God called you, step forward and do what he called you to do. This is a wake-up call to all of us in the church to be about the Father's business. We go to the nursing home once a month, and I always talk to this one guy, and he's got a crossword puzzle, something like a crossword puzzle. I don't know what it is, but And he has it with him all the time, and he's working on it. Works on it, works on it, works on it, works on it, works on it. And every time he shows it to me, he says, it's just good for killing time. I'm killing time. Do you know how that's how a lot of us live our life? We're just killing time. Time was not meant to be killed. Time was meant to be filled with life. And living for the Master is that life. doing what the Master told us to do is that life. To multiply what He has given to us is that life. I said in the beginning that I have not sought the Lord the way I need to be a good pastor, and then I'm sorry for that. And I'm determined to get up and do better. As I read these passages, I had to ask myself some serious questions. Am I maximizing everything the Lord has given me to do? And am I doing it with all my strength and all my ability? And the determination is to do it in God's Spirit, in God's timing, in God's way. And I felt the Lord tell me that this message was for people who maybe are getting ready to hide something in the ground. And the word is to multiply the truth and to give it. This song came to me, and it's a song about not giving up, that God isn't finished with us yet. And I hope your passion will be this: Lord, show me my talent. Show me what you've given me. Show me what truth that is in me. And then, Lord, give me the strength to go out and by your grace make it happen, that when you come back, I will have more. I will have used the grace, and I will have used your ability, and I will have used my gifts and my talents for multiplication for the glory of your kingdom.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.